A little bit after 12 o'clock, and you're in tune to KZSU Stanford. And it's Monday, it's noon, so it's time once again for another exciting edition of the Lunch Special.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, Jimmy, we miss you. Jimi Hendrix on Monday afternoon, and I'm here. I'm your host, Bird. This is another edition of the Lunch Special. I'm here today with curator of the Arts of Africa and the Americas from the Cantor Arts Center here in Stanford with Barbara Thompson. And welcome to KZSU, Barbara Thompson.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Get real close to that mic when you talk, okay? And let's see if we can't raise your volume level on the vocals there.
Sounds good. How's that?
Cool. That way we're going to sound just the same on the recording. You've brought a wide range of music today, and it does have a theme.
Yes, it does.
And it goes along with what you're working on at the Cantor Arts Center.
Exactly. For those of you out there who know Jimi Hendrix, and I think you probably all know Voodoo Child, the theme here really is about voodoo and about African spirituality. We have two exhibitions at the Cantor Arts Center, both of them that are pertaining to the spirit world in Africa and the African diaspora. So I brought Jimi Hendrix in as somebody that everybody's familiar with, but I've brought a few other examples in here of works that maybe some people are not so familiar with the widespread fascination with voodoo spirits.
And we were talking off mic, and you mentioned voodoo is a word that Hollywood kind of made up.
Yeah, the original religion is called Vodun, and it started in the West African country of Benin. It's an incredibly ancient religion, a monotheistic religion, that has been represented, I would say, for at least 100 years, if not longer, or rather misrepresented in the West as a sort of dark occult practice of, you know, voodoo dolls and mummies and Lord knows what sorts of Hollywood fantasies of the dark other side of the world. But in reality, it's a spirituality that has a lot of similarities to Buddhism. It's a spirituality that's very heavily related to philosophy and the philosophy of balance. So it's really interesting the way the West has constructed its own idea of voodoo from an incredibly old religion that some even say goes back as far as Egypt, if not even earlier than ancient Egypt.
Wow, very interesting. Now, when you go down to New Orleans, there's a shop in the French Quarter called Marie Laveau's House of, I forget, but she was a voodoo priestess that lived a long time ago. And they'll mix you up a gris-gris bag at Marie Laveau's, which is supposed to, you tell them what's wrong with you, and then it's supposed to fix up your ailments. That came from Haiti, and I know that's part of that religion. Well, I mean, that's part of a change, part of that religion. But is there any connection, or what the connection between voodoo and then Haiti, and then, of course, there's a connection, but I mean, can you talk about that just a little bit?
Sure. When the slaves were brought over from Africa into the Caribbean world and into, you know, other parts of the Americas, they brought their religion with them. And the Vodun religion, as it spread throughout West Africa with slavery and then over the Atlantic into the New World, took on its own localized versions in which you have, you know, really this mix of ideas coming together in which not only do you have the African religion of Vodun coming into play, but you also have elements of Christianity coming into play and elements of sort of the modern world or modern life. So it's an incredibly adaptive religion that has found its own manifestation, you know, in the Americas, both in the United States as well as in the Caribbean.
And this is all part of the show that's going on now at the Cantor Arts Center?
That's right. Actually, we have two shows, one that's called Mamiwata, Arts for the Water Spirits, and Mamiwata is a particular spirit that is found throughout West Africa and other parts of the world, again, in the Caribbean, but also in India, and she's a water spirit. So she's a spirit that comes from the water, and she's come to also represent the coming together of different worlds, particularly the African world and the non-African world. So the two religions or religious practices are very closely related. Mamiwata finds herself in the Vodun religion, but has also been taken up by by religious practitioners from various West African countries and cultures who practice their own religion, but also pray to Mamiwata. So she's kind of this universal woman or this universal female spirit that comes from the water and offers up the possibility of wealth, of fertility, of success in college exams.
And,
wow. Yeah, a lot of... bridges that need to be covered in the modern life.
Well, that's something Christianity never came up with.
No.
Too bad. But Hollywood covered that for him. What do we have up next?
Okay, we have another song that I think some people probably are not so familiar with, but also relates to the theme of Vodou and the way it's being practiced in the New World.
Here today with Barbara Thompson, the curator of the Arts of Africa and the Americas. And today, the theme of the music, water spirit and voodoo religion. And Barbara, who was that?
That was actually from a compilation of songs recorded in Haiti. And that was a song that is devoted to the spirit Ogou, one of the spirits in the Vodou religion in Haiti. And that's an example, actually, of some of the original music, the way it is practiced, the way the music is practiced within the practices of the Vodou religion in Haiti. Hmm. And, you know, some ways you might listen to the Jimi Hendrix and you might listen to this one and say, wow, what is the connection there? But a lot of times the connection is in drumming, the connection is in rhythm, and certainly connection is also in the philosophy. And, you know, when you think about the lyrics in Jimi Hendrix's song, it's very much about this spirituality, about this possibility of power, of spiritual power. And that's very much what these religions and prayer and worship of spirits is about, is gaining access to the power of the spirit world. And, you know, as I was just talking with you about, it's about finding balance within your world or creating balance within your world. And that balance is a very thin line because you have to have an open, true heart. You have to have a heart that is balanced and is not always after greedy things because the demand for power can often be a very dangerous thing.
It's not nice to fool Mother Nature.
No, definitely not.
What do we have up next, Barbara?
Next, we have a song by Celia Cruz, who is a Cuban-born salsa singer, and she's probably one of the most successful salsa performers of the 20th century. And this song is called Yemayá, and Yemayá is a water spirit. In fact, this is the Yoruba version, as well as the Cuban version of Mami Wata. Mami Wata being this water spirit, and Yemayá being a water spirit, she's also a spirit of love.
You said Yoruba version?
Yes, the Yoruba peoples are from Nigeria, and the Nigerians have a religion that is also based on a pantheon of spirits and god figures that come from the natural elements and come from, you know, issues of humanity, and Yemayá is the water spirit.
Let's check it out. Celia Cruz right here on KZSU's Lunch Special, and today celebrating the music of the African diaspora, and I guess as it came into the Americas and the Caribbean too, huh? With Barbara Thompson, the curator of the Arts of Africa and the Americas. And there's a, why don't you talk a little bit about what you guys did last week over there. There was a ceremony?
Yeah, it was really exciting. We had a blessing for the opening of the Vodun exhibition, and we invited a Haitian mambo. A mambo is a priestess, and this is a woman, an elderly woman who lost her home in Haiti during the earthquake, but she has a daughter who lives here in the Bay Area and was able to move up here with her daughter. So now the mother and daughter, and actually the whole family, are performing together, both doing workshops in Haitian dance and workshops in drumming, but then the mother, Francine, or Fofo, as she goes by, also does blessings and ceremonies for the Vodun spirits. So we invited her to the Cantor Art Center, And located right outside of the museum, we have Stone River, which is a beautiful sculpture by Andy Goldsworthy, a sculpture in the form of the snake. And the snake is a very important image both of Mamiwata as well as some of the spirits in the Vodou world. Because the snake represents fertility, water, purity. So it's an image that is used quite a bit throughout Africa and the African diaspora. So they created an altar next to Stone River and did a dance performance. And the people who attended this were invited to dance with and were invited into the blessing and blessing of the exhibition, of the museum space, of Stone River, of the day, of trees. It was really quite an emotional experience for many people.
Hmm.
And really shows that that Haitian Vodou is very much alive here in the Bay Area.
Were there a lot of practitioners of Haitian Vodou there?
Yes, there were. There were. I was really quite surprised to find this because I just didn't think that, you know, in the Stanford area or in the Bay Area that there would be so much knowledge of this. But there were practitioners who were attending, and those practitioners who were attending for the most part were wearing white, which is one of the colors for the water spirits. And these were practitioners that knew the songs that were, you know, in the Haitian Vodou language, so they knew how to sing the songs, and these were practitioners of both African and non-African descent. So it really showed that this is a religion that's reaching out to not just people of African descent or people from Africa, but really is a religion that many people are turning to.
Very interesting stuff here this afternoon, not just the music. What do we have up next, Barbara? Because this music is very compelling that you brought today.
We have some more music devoted to Mamiwata.
wata, mami wata. Mami wata, mami wata. Mami wata, mami wata. Mami wata, mami wata. Mami wata, mami wata.
Some wonderful, soulful, spiritual music on this Monday afternoon, and I'm here today with my guest, Barbara Thompson, the curator of the Arts of Africa and the Americas at the Cantor Arts Center. And for anybody listening out there, if you haven't been to the Cantor Arts Center on campus here at Stanford, you got to check it out. It's very deep. This is a serious, serious, more than a museum. And how long is this show running, Barbara?
Well, the two shows are running through the rest of this year. The Mami Wata show is up through December, so it closes at the beginning of January when we come back from winter closure.
Mm-hmm.
And the Vodun exhibition is up until, oh my goodness, I have to look that up. I don't have the exact dates with me.
Okay. And then you mentioned that there's another gathering coming up. That folks could attend too, besides this blessing you had last week.
Yes, we have a dance performance on December 2nd from 6 to 7:30 p.m. in our auditorium, and this is performed by the Afutayi Dance Company, and this is a dance called A Gathering for Simbi, Simbi being one of the Vodou spirits, the spirit who's known as Sweet Water. This is choreographed by Haitian dancer, actress, and storyteller Janan Saint-Just, who is the daughter of Fofo, who I had mentioned earlier, and it's also accompanied by drumming and singing and storytelling. So it's a wonderful opportunity to really be able to see the Vodou religion in its practice of dancing, storytelling, and singing.
And what was the date on that again?
That's December 2nd from 6 to 7:30.
Perfect. And people could go on the Cantor Arts website, right?
That's correct. And getting back to you with the closing dates on the Vodou show, that's March 20th.
Oh, going all the way to March. Okay, good. Barbara Thompson, you've led quite a... you traveled a lot.
Yeah, I'm a bohemian at heart.
Born in Hawaii.
Yep.
You attended USC for a little while.
Yeah, didn't like it. Hung out at UCLA all the time.
What did you intend to study when you started your college career?
I was kind of clueless at that time. I started out thinking I wanted to study international business until I took my first business math course, and then I absolutely knew this was not for me. And then I started dabbling in various arts, including, believe it or not, recording arts workshops, which was actually really fun, and also salsa dancing, and I just wasn't into college at that time. So I quit school after about 2 years and went on and got a career in the fashion world. And returned back to college at the age of 30.
Hmm. And you went to Eckerd College in St. Pete, Florida.
That's right.
What did you study there?
I studied international studies, which, unlike international business, it could, you know, it was one of those degrees that you can kind of decide on yourself what you wanted to study. So my core of study in that program was anthropology. And I ended up taking a lot of courses in visual anthropology, which is the study of the material culture, the things that people make and how they express themselves artistically. So that kind of opened up the roads for my interests in cultures around the world and how they express themselves artistically through music, through dance, through writing, through creating objects, through basically any kind of artistic production.
And did you go to Florida first, or did you go to the college that just happened to be in Florida? Were you already in Florida when...
I was already in Florida, and when I was at Eckerd College, then I found out that one of the scholars who I had been using his literature for my own research, Robin Poyner, I found out that he was actually teaching at the University of Florida, and the University of Florida had a very strong African studies program at that time. And so I got on the phone with him and started talking to him, and of course at the time was also thinking about university programs for my master's up in the northeastern region, and being from Hawaii, that was not you know, something that I really wanted to pursue at that time. I was still loving the warmth. So I did attend the University of Florida really at a wonderful time in which this program for African art history was really taking off. And I was given the really fabulous opportunity to also assist a gentleman called Roy Sieber, who was sort of the grandpapa of African art history, who was on a sabbatical leave for 1 year at the University of Florida. So I really had the opportunity to work with some of the two best minds in African art history while I was at the University of Florida.
Is that what got you off on the path of art history, and especially art, African art history?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I switched at that time. I switched over from anthropology into specifically into art history. So my degree was in art history with a minor in African studies, and that certainly sent me on the path to continued studies. Because of course, finishing with my master's, I was asking my professor, "So, what do I do with this now that I have that I'm going to have this degree in my hand?" He said, "Well, you know, maybe you can teach in a community college." I said, "That's not enough." So PhD seemed to be in my future.
And then it was University of Iowa PhD. How did in art history? How did you pick the University of Iowa, or how did it pick you?
It sort of picked me, but I guess I picked it as well. Initially I wanted to go to the University of California at Santa Barbara because there was a scholar who was there at the time that I wanted to work with. And she said, you know, the program's kind of winding down because all the great scholars here are retiring. So you should look at the University of Iowa because they do have a lot of very, very strong scholars who are working in African art history. But for me, the thought of moving to Iowa and sub-zero weather was not very conducive. But then I got to conversations with the various scholars there, Chris Roy, Al Roberts, Bill Dewey, and it happened to be a moment in the University of Iowa's history in which there were about five African art historians that were on campus in some department or another. So it really was a golden moment to be going there. And this was a program in which they also offer the PhD students full scholarship, research funding to go to Africa to do original research. So it was a really sweet deal, and I had a really fantastic time. I had incredible mentorship while I was there, and remained very close with my professors to this day. I was just down at UCLA a couple weeks ago speaking to the African Studies program because two of my professors from Iowa have since moved on to UCLA.
How did all those heavyweight African professor guys end up in Iowa?
That's a good question. There was actually a husband and wife couple who had collected very, very wonderful African art, and they had, I would say, probably one of the best private collections of African art in the United States, the Stanleys, and they gave that collection to the University of Florida. They also provided funding so that this this collection could be studied both by students as well as by scholars. They gave money for yearly conferences or symposia or publications. They gave funding for students such as myself to study there, and they also gave a chair in the art history for the study of African life. So it was a really fantastic vision that this couple had.
That was in Florida or in Iowa?
No, this was in Iowa.
Wow. So they just happened to be from Iowa and happened to love
They just happened to be
African
from Muscatine,
art.
Iowa, yeah.
What a trip. Barbara Thompson is our guest. She's a curator of the Arts of Africa and the Americas here at the Cantor Arts Center on campus. And I guess you're the director of these two shows that's going on, right?
I am the curator, the facilitating curator. The Mami Wata show was actually curated by a colleague of mine out in the field, Henry Druhl. And Henry Druhl will be coming here this week to the museum to give a talk. Henry Druhl, he's a scholar who's really been working with Mami Wata, I would say, about 60 years. He's had what he calls a love affair with Mami Wata. So the exhibition really is a culmination of his lifetime of work mm-hmm. on Mami Wata and on spirits, particularly spirits from West Africa. And he'll be here on Thursday, the 28th at 6 p.m., also in our auditorium at the Cantor Arts Center, talking about Mami Wata and other divinities in West Africa and the diaspora. So he really put this amazing exhibition together, and you know the artworks in this exhibition are incredibly glitzy, glammy, colorful. I mean, they are the opposite of what most people expect African art to be, you know, sort of the monotone browns. Very heavy use of sequins and beautiful colors, very cool, watery colors and forms. A very, very interesting exhibition that's traveled elsewhere also in the United States. It's been at the National Museum for African Art and at the Fowler Museum, which was the organizing exhibition, the organizing museum that put that exhibition together. And so he's going to be here really talking about his personal experience with Mamiwata.
And that's Thursday at 6.
That's correct.
I bet you're looking forward to that.
Yes, I am.
Well, let's get on with some more music now. And what do we have queued up for the folks, Barbara?
We have Omar Sosa, who's a Cuban composer, band leader, and jazz pianist. And here he is also performing for Yamaya, or the Cuban version of Yamaya. And so this is a song, again, for the water spirit, for the blue water spirit.
Color blue, depths, the Misa.
City Mosa,
Ganawa.
Yemaya,
City Mosa, Abuela, mother of the fishes. I feel your depths deeper than I can conceive.
Awoyo, Yemaya.
Deeper, deeper. Taking me deeper, deeper down, down to the depths, getting swept, swept away by the tsunami of thoughts, getting caught, never coming short, sport this like a fine jewel, jewel of the Nile, valley, rivers, rivers, streams, streams, dreams, premonitions, visions, bringing back precision, ignition, igniting, igniting, lighting the fire, wire, tired, never tired, when I come desire, when I come spitting fire, when it's like mics burn in my turn, no feedback necessary, you must learn, time to burn, is the ignition like tongues of fire, tongues of wire hot, to heat it, read it not, need new be the griot, blowing spots, Yemaya, take me to the highest, highest.
تجلب ليلى أين الله لا ربي يا رسول الله في دويني مكاتبنا أكتبنا ملكاتبنا سيدي موسى
freeing from shackles and chains on the brain, tackles and chains remain back in the past, back in the past, the mystery, no mystery, listen to me as I come speaking spiritually, metaphysically, mentally, traveling, unraveling myths and hypotheses, at ease, bring back philosophies, spitting back all these hypocrisies that I've been taught, that I've been caught, never thought, never coming short, never sport, when I become it, wearing this like a thing, clearing this, can't see through the glare, can't see through the glare. The eclipse of the lies got me unaware. Yemaya, I need your guidance, need your guidance. Guiding me, guiding me. The guiding, guiding me. The guiding, guiding me. The guiding, guiding light.
Oh, yeah.
seen? Have you ever been? Have you ever witnessed? Fitness, get this. Kiss that, make it step, I think my step. Traveling is my myth when I come like a sheep in the shepherd. At work, see the word is the worst. Becoming flesh, now the power of the spoken. Work is spoken.
Winding down now, we're coming to the end of this edition of the Lunch Special. And today, Barbara Thompson, the curator of the Arts of Africa and the Americas at the Kanner Arts Center here at Stanford campus. And two big shows going on, the Mami Wata Water Spirit Show and the Voodoon Religion Show. And Barbara, this has been an amazing hour. I've learned so much about this stuff that I didn't know before. I bet it's excited you to be part of this, huh?
Oh, yeah, it has. I mean, it's been a great adventure working with the curator of the Mami Wata exhibition, with Henry Drouel, but also with Jean-Dominique Burton, who I wanted to highlight a little bit about him. He's a photographer who created the photographs in the Vaudou-Vaudinant show. And this gentleman has done an amazing feat in that he's been able to work with the Vaudoun priests and priestesses in Benin over the course of 3 years to be able to gain permission to photograph them and to photograph their shrines, shrines that have never been accessible to anybody beyond the priests and priestesses. So for the first time, we're able to actually see some of the shrines devoted to these spirits. And his photographs are beautiful diptychs. That means, you know, two images. One is a black and white photograph of the priest or the priestess, mm-hmm. and one is a color photograph of the shrine. And I say that these are both portraits because the spirits are living spirits, and these shrines are visual manifestations of those spirits in this physical world.
Mm-hmm.
So they really are portraits. portraits of them, in that each shrine is made up of materials that are very specific to that spirit and is decorated with symbols that are iconic of that spirit and of the spirit powers that that individual Vodou has. So these are really fabulous images that we have really a great privilege to be able to see what otherwise has not been made available to the public in the past.
The Vodou show is going through March. Am I wrong about that?
No, that's correct.
And the Mamawate show is going through the end of the year, right?
Yes, it closes January 2nd.
Then you have a dance performance on December 2nd.
That's correct.
And otherwise, folks can go to the Cantor Arts Center website and get all the information there, right?
That's correct.
Barbara, thanks again for coming on the show.
Bert, it was great to be here.
Thank you. And do stay in touch, and we'd love to have you back sometime real soon.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Have a great day. Stand by for Shedding Lights.